Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate the Star Wars movies one minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
That would make me Josh Flanagan of the iFanboy Comic Book Podcast.
Welcome back again, Josh.
I like Wednesdays.
How's that lounge working out? Is it comfy, cozy?
Nice. I think the plaque could use... I'm just waiting for it to be done. I know that some of the gold embedding and embossing is taking a little time, but... I think it's going to come together real nice, but this chair is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got our top men working on the signage. So
top men, you do not hear that nearly enough anymore.
Well, today we are here to talk about, minute 38 of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Or in my notes, I have it written as R138 for you Misfits fans out there. It starts with Jyn Erso revealing her true identity, and it ends with the Rogue Ones being tossed in a cell. And presumably, they're in the, what is it, the catacombs of Carvel or something like that?
Hmm.
No, there's a cool, like, alliterative thing in there. I don't have it in front of me. I thought I wrote it down, but I guess I didn't. The
catacombs of Chuck E. Cheese. Underneath
known as
that.
The catacombs of Kadera.
There you go.
The mind harp.
By the catacombs of Kadera.
By the creepy catacombs of Kadera.
Well, so we get the at the end of this battle, effectively, as we get to kind of taken away from that, I had a little, I had a wrap up. I was saving it for today. Because on the Wikipedia page, I guess somebody did the math. And they did the casualties for this battle, this little fight on in Jeddah City.
Fracas
on Jeddah City. The cost of this battle is at least 11 partisans were killed.
Wow,
at least. And I'm assuming this is just people kind of, you know, watching minute by minute like we do. Just checking off like, okay, yep, there goes another one.
Hold your fire.
11 partisans, 32 stormtroopers. So that's like a 3-to-1 ratio. It's not bad.
Well, especially when you consider that Baze and Trura killed 14 between the two of them. That's almost half the people. Killed almost half the... Yeah.
Well, they hit him with a stick. It's hard to say if they're dead.
That's true.
That's why you need the fart test. 11 partisans, 32 stormtroopers, 1 KX series Imperial droid, 1 tank, and 1 First Sergeant Jimon Arbmab.
Can I have another take on that name? Arbmab?
First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab. Arbnab.
Is he a good guy or a bad guy?
Is he a good witch or a bad witch? The First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab came from, he was the guy kind of driving the tank, or like kind of sitting in command of the tank. So he's that tank trooper. Okay. But First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab came from, he originated in a 1989 short story that was printed in the Imperial Sourcebook for the Star Wars role-playing game. There was a story
about... Jimon Arbnab. No, Darth Vader can never say that.
Arbnab. Am I saying that right? That sounds wrong. Arbnab. Arb. And just put him in a tank.
I gotta say, this... George, this doesn't sound good.
Apology accepted, First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab.
We can just change the word. There's no reason to keep what's in the... Do what's in the script. All right.
So wait, this was a character from 1989.
It was a character from 1989 from a role-playing game source book that then they'd killed in this movie. And I think
now,
that's
where did
just,
you find out this information that that was that character's name?
On the Wikipedia.
Oh, yep. Okay. It says, okay. Mentions in the casualties.
Casualties.
Also, not the most fertile time for really great Star Wars names, apparently.
Yeah.
Barber 1989. Well, they didn't think anybody would ever go back and look at this stuff because there was no Star Wars on the horizon. Yeah. So it was like, well, might as well just name him Arbnab.
No one's ever going to speak these words out loud.
Just two stone guys. One of them said Arbnab and the other one laughed as I put that in the game.
Yeah. Well, that might, going back, it might be, because I think that this was, you know, the character is obviously not named in the movie. And so
wait, when he gets killed, the guy doesn't go
from
Captain Arbnab or anything like that.
First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab. No. Or when after the battle, then, you know, when Cassian calls back, he's like, I killed First Sergeant Jimon Arbnab. here's how I'm following it. Here's me putting my spin on it. I'm sure that it's, you know, because he's not mentioned, then he's identified in the visual guide. And Pablo Hidalgo came up into the like, he got his start in the Star Wars role-playing world.
Hmm.
So I'm sure that this is his, you know, him kind of, you know, like bringing up this one character that his friend invented or something. He was like, oh, remember you did that module about a tank guy? Yeah. Let me,
wow.
You know, throw that in there.
Yeah, I could see that happening.
So that, as long, they don't have to say it on a screen, so it's fine. But Arbnab? I can't tell if I wrote an M or an N.
Arbnab is funnier.
Arbnab.
Arbnab. Yep, that is funny.
It's harder to say.
Because it's... The thing that's funny about that word is that it doesn't work.
Right.
And so by adding the M, it's even harder.
Arbnab is almost something. Arbnab is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Arbnab has a little bit of a natural rhythm to it. So I'm going to have to go with the Arbnab because there's no way to have that liaison in the middle of the word with the M.
It's like Nian Nunb. It's like one of those.
Yeah,
kind of,
exactly.
They should be room. They were probably roommates in... Rebel School.
That was one of those failed animation pitches. Numb and Arbnab.
Numb and Arbnab.
Mab, Arbnab.
Arbnab and Numb.
Arbnab and Numb. Attorneys at law.
Ghost hunters.
Have you had your arm shot off in a cantina?
Well, anyway, getting on to this minute.
We haven't even started.
Yeah, we were just listing the casualties from the battle. But yeah.
That was the classic Arbnab diversion.
yeah. That, because in the back of my head now, it's like, oh, damn, should we make a Joy Division shirt now? This is Arbnab diversion.
That'll be our shirt of the week. We'll write that one down.
The shirt of the week.
Yeah. Last week it was the...
niche as hell.
That is our niche.
Our niche is going niche.
That's Ardmab or Arbmab?
Arbmab.
Okay.
It should just be a shirt with like Arbmab Arbmab question mark Arbnab?
Or we could do Arbmab and Nunb, attorneys at law.
Attorneys at law, right.
My lips itch doing that too much.
Anyway, this minute features the famous gag of where they put the sack, the partisans put the sack over Truett's head, and he says, "Are you kidding me? I'm blind." And yeah, which is funny, although watching it this time, I was like, I clearly am giving it a pass because I didn't think of it until like the 10th time I've watched it. But what's the jury's verdict on, are you kidding me?
It falls under the is this Star Wars question.
Right. And what's your verdict?
I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think because it's in here, it's Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And we said before that Chirrut is Imwe. He's a little off, and that's actually how he fits in. So when he does a thing like that, it sort of, I don't know, his timing's off, the thing he says. I think it works.
Luke says, "Are you kidding me?" at the rate they're gaining in Star Wars. So thing is in there, at least.
That's what I was gonna. I'm about to pull up the script to be like, wait a minute, do we hear that? I could totally see like Han Solo or something. Yeah, but there you go. Luke saying, "Are you kidding me?" at the rate they're gaining.
Yeah,
there you go. All right.
I guess
so it is Star Wars.
That base frustration with somebody else doing something stupid is very Star Wars.
I think think what makes it sound more modern is that he puts that Chandler Bing emphasis on kidding. Are you kidding me? As opposed to, are you kidding me? That, like that, you know? So I think that's what...
Could I be any more blind?
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know what? Like I said, it took me 10 times before I think it's a good joke.
Yeah. And it's a nice light chuckle to end the big... battle where at least 43 people just got killed.
Wow, way to bring it down. Rest in peace, Arbnab. Well,
then we have a lay. Then we have a chuckle. Yeah.
I'm going to say Arbnab can't be the guy. Arbnab was the tank guy. It's not the guy he sat on.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Right. Arbnab remains unfarted on.
That we know of.
So we can't be sure that he's dead.
That's true. Somebody did survive. It's from later. Somebody from the, I don't know if it's in my notes, but some of the
partisans.
Apparently, some of the partisans in the caverns of Calendula escape.
Nice.
So,
So then we cut to Jedha City. Unless you guys have anything else about the partisans,
I just wanted to bring up that Jyn Erso basically plays the like basically she gets pulled over and says, "Do you know who I am?"
That's true. Well, probably would have happened though. I mean, do you think they would have done anything different if she hadn't said, do you know who I am?"
They might have killed her right there.
That's true.
Well, it's interesting though because her doing it made no difference. Like plot wise, like her saying that there was no point.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't react. Didn't change what they were doing. It didn't give us information we didn't have. Kind of a rookie move in that way. Like, unless they changed. The only other thing I notice is that, I don't know if it's in this minute till later, but in the next one, she comes in way later than the rest of them. They're already in the cell, but that's the next minute.
Right.
It felt pointless, though, because she says, you know, I'm the daughter, and why is, like, it didn't matter. It did nothing when she said it.
Yeah.
Well, that should be the, you know, again, maybe this is too fast and furious here. Too many musical cues in a row, but it would be a good, you have to take a Saw Gerrera and why is that? And then she, you know, steps out a little bit, the lights dim, and she's like, I'm the daughter of Jyn Erso. And like, it leads into her kind of I Am song.
Mm-hmm. What show is that from, I Am?
Trying to come up with something clever, but that's the from every show.
I never saw that.
The Krennic Follies.
It happened after you left New York.
Oh, okay. Damn.
It's the 2018 season. Come on.
Right.
So then we cut to Jedha City where there's some activity going on. It looks like the Star Destroyer is moving to a different parking spot.
Yeah, how long do you think that Star Destroyer was there? I couldn't find any info on that.
Well, I thought, for my first thought was that it must be there for a while, because they show everyone looking up like it's an unusual activity. But then when they cut to the Two Tubes gang walking, they don't even stop and comment on it. They're just like, who cares?
Like,
you think that would be kind of big news if it, so it must come and go all the time. It must be just like a cruise ship going in and out where they're like, meh. You know?
It's really cool.
Oh, it's totally cool.
Just from a sort of like production design visual standpoint, I've never seen that. You know, Star Destroyers, I had thought, were not atmospheric vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I thought they were orbital vehicles only. It would be the kind of thing that, you know, they wouldn't. I didn't think they could do that. And which leads me to the, how can they do that? And which leads me to, lately, I have had some problems when watching Star Wars and dealing with the gravity physics issues that there no one's paying any attention.
Mm. I would say don't
because in like,
yeah,
I know, but I've been reading The Expanse and watching those lately, and it I can't help it. It starts to make me think about it, because that stuff is very gravity specific. But I'm not going to do that. But it comes and I try to push it away, like negative thoughts.
Yes, just eat something when that happens.
Yeah. I mean, it goes all the way back to, you know, the Millennium Falcon turrets.
Yeah.
That's just like an Escher situation. I, you know what I love about that, though? That's now 42 years old, almost 43. And ask how I know exactly what that age is. and no one knows, and we've all accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sure there's drawings of people trying to explain it. You don't want that. I don't want that.
No.
Weird. It's a weird thing from Star Wars when we were a kid, and that's all that matters. And I love that. And it looks really cool with the big Star Destroyer floating over the city that's on top of a big plateau.
It does.
All good.
And we get a cool shot of the Death Star droid. Looking up at it and talking. Yeah.
No, wait. That's not a...
It is a Death Star droid.
But we had his... it's... KMD RA-71.
Hmm.
Oh, the KMD models.
Yeah.
Isn't that a band?
KMD, yeah, he was from... KMD eventually became...
Yeah, MF.
MF Doom, right?
Club. Oh, really?
Right?
Which is not to be confused with KMFDM?
Oh, no, KMD was the band, and he was one of the guys. He was like... now I have to look it up. Darn it.
Sorry, everyone.
No. Because they were on that... he was... Okay. KMD, Causing Much Damage, was
that's
a hip-hop trio active in the early
cause.
90s.
There you go.
Rapper and producer Zev Love X from KMD later became MF Doom. And he's got the... He does a verse on the Gas Face. By third base. So, do they all do one, or just he do one? And it's been a while since I've heard the Gas Face.
I literally, earlier in the week, there was something where a third base joke popped into my head and I didn't say it. Now I don't remember what it, but that's weird.
That is weird.
One of our earlier riffs, I had a third base thing, but we'd moved on and I was like, I'm just going to save that. And it came back to haunt me.
There you go. And it's all because of that droid. The droid. KMD. RA-71.
Pop goes the ab, farb goes the ab, narb goes pop.
So it's KND?
KMD. Causing Much Damage.
MD. M.
RA-71.
But it's funnier if it's causing much damage.
So,
I wonder how many droids are like... I wonder how many droids are referred to by like a personal name, like R2 and 3PO are.
Mm.
You know, like, does anyone ever call this droid the full? They say, "Hey, K2 number 5-7." You know, do they? It seems like they should have shorter names. Is what I'm saying.
I think they call him KMD.
KMD.
Like, KMD.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And they later called him MF Doom.
Yeah,
the droid.
Mm-hmm. That's the black one.
4D6.
The black Death Star droid.
Is 4D6. JA7.
That does get
so
tedious.
Then we cut, So then we cut to outside where we see them walking back to Saw's fortress in the lost caverns of Kadavra. And this seems wildly impractical to me. So every time these partisans want to go into town, they have to walk that 10 miles through the desert to get to the... It seems like that's going to have people finding your hideout more so than anything, having a parade of ants, you know, basically leading people right to your secret hideout.
Hmm.
I mean, why don't they have speeders or something?
Well, I don't know. Well,
those are good questions.
They don't want to be found. They probably don't go to town that often, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess enough where there's a lot of terrorist activity.
Yeah, I don't know. But then they don't want to be... Yeah, I guess so. Like, so after every like big explosion, everybody's like, oh, who could have done that? And there's just like a... Like, you know,
20 guys,
4 hours of guys just kind of like jogging through the desert in a straight line.
Yeah.
I mean, just getting up to Jeddah seems like kind of a pain.
Like an all day process.
It's on that big, I mean, maybe they got elevators or I don't know, but I'm guessing not. And then you got to go to the other place. They don't even have dewbacks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if they have dewbacks here. Because this is just another place that looks like Tatooine that isn't Tatooine.
Mm, right.
I mean, I guess you're supposed to be talking about how rough it is for the you know, how low tech they are compared to the Alliance, you know, who have fancy X-Wings and blue computer screens and all that stuff. These guys, meanwhile, need shoe leather.
I'm trying to come up with something with dewbacks and two tubes, but I can't put it together.
Arb Mab, two tubes and dewbacks.
That's a killer track.
Did you know that the two tubes brothers are 32 years old?
32 tubes.
That angers me. That's a lot of tubes. 60, that's 64 tubes between them. I don't like when aliens have age the same as humans.
You know, like when
they're on record to saying
they're millennials.
I don't like when aliens live an average lifespan of like 80 years, 80 human years. It's just too coincidental.
They should either be 7 or 600.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Or at least 100, you know.
At least.
These guys look like lizards for crying out loud.
That's a long time to keep a tube clean, though.
Long time. 32 years old.
The guy who, and look, he's accomplished so much more than we have. The guy who...
Well, there are two of them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They help each other out.
Now there are two of them.
Always two tubes there are. Tubes. Our tubes. The guy who throws them into the jail cell. There's just like a human... wearing, you know, a desert garb. But for some reason, I think it's the coloration of the outfit and the way that it obscures his face. He totally reminds me of Warren Beatty in Ishtar.
I was just going to say Ishtar.
Really? Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, I know that's one of your all-time favorite movies.
Yeah, of course.
Josh, you have any strong feelings on Ishtar?
I've never seen Ishtar.
Hmm.
I understand it's not a good film.
That's wrong. That's incorrect.
I'm just going with the popular notion of that. It's people of a certain age are going to remember that as the punchline to whatever joke was about the worst movie.
Right. And it did not deserve the, well, it's a whole thing, but it's we weren't ready for Ishtar. In Reagan's America, I mean, it's a movie about, you know, the CIA kind of screwing over, you know, getting involved in the Middle East. And it's a goofy comedy.
I mean, Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman are not given to doing lowbrow things.
Right. And then everybody was expecting, you know, that was hot off of both of them doing more serious stuff. And then here there's just them acting like idiots. It's a great movie. Anyway.
Great. Great is not the same as not terrible. You're just giving it full on.
Yeah, I think it's a great movie. But here the guy throwing him in there for some reason totally reminds me of Lyle Rogers of Rogers and Clark, which is the which is Warren Beatty's character there. There's a whole scene where he's kind of, you know, covered himself except for his eyes and is interacting with the arms dealers in the middle of the desert.
Well, my similar note for that exact thing is that, like, when they don't know what to do with somebody in this movie and you're supposed to be just sort of a ruffian, they basically go, make him look like a Bedouin from Lawrence of Arabia.
Right.
Or the 80s version of that, which is what you're talking about. You know, like those guys were in Spies Like Us or in Ishtar, whatever, that was that outfit. And there's a bunch of these guys as you sort of watch this movie. I've noticed them in several of the scenes. That sort of random sort of Arabic person.
Yeah.
Or garb, anyway.
Yeah, it's like Arab garb, but not, you know, obviously not Arabs because they're in outer space.
Right.
So. Something that connotes desert people without working too hard.
Right. I'm just impressed to see people living in the desert who aren't dressed like Jedis for once. That's a nice twist.
There you go. And even on Jeddah.
Yeah, they're right there.
I will say, there's the bit where they're doing the march there, and the music cue is very Tatooine.
Mm.
It's very similar to the, I guess, I want to say like the droids when they're cruising around trying to figure out where they're going. It's very, like, they're trying really hard to make me think this is Tatooine. And I wish they didn't.
So, that's all I have for minute 38. How are you guys doing?
That's pretty much all I had, too.
I am bereft of further notes on this minute.
All right, yeah, that's pretty much all I had for 38. And then we get into the base, the hideout, the caverns of Carb Nab tomorrow. So do you guys have Josh, can you come back tomorrow?
Well, we won't be 138 because right now we are 138. Yeah. But yes, 139.
Alex, would you please do me a favor and come back and host the show with me tomorrow?
I will see what's on my schedule.
All right. Good news. What's on your schedule is a brand new episode of Star Wars Minute.
Star Wars Minute.
Minute. Abmarb.